Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
That's right, fantasy football fans. We are back at it for a special Thursday night edition of The Takeover. Of course, I am Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFantasyExec. In a few minutes, my guy, my main man, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro will be joining me live on the line as we get you ready to rock and roll and hopefully get you some kind of balance in your fantasy football lineups. Normally what we like to do on the program is take it week by week, go game by game, get you ready for your DFS and your season-long fantasy football league as we get ready to try to, for some teams, try to keep things going. For some guys, try to turn things around. So, special program today, going to do 45 minutes on a Thursday. Want to touch on some of the key matchups. Want to talk about some of the rankings that we have over at Scout Fantasy, some of our week four projections. Thinking some real interesting things going on this week. Maybe it can help you get your lineups in order because we've already drafted the teams. We've already been to the waiver wire a few times. But, of course, the week-by-week lineup setting is a problem. Of course, a lot of people hit me up on Twitter. A lot of guys are leaving the wrong people on the bench this week. We want to help you clear those situations out. Got some injury situations we want to touch on, go over some of the latest news. Also, of course, got a potential weather situation going on this weekend in the Northeast that could affect some fantasy football owners. But to get ready to bring Chris in, I want to talk today, because I know Chris is going to be able to help me a lot on this. I want to talk about some players who were highly ranked in the draft season who have gotten off slow starts. Chris, what's going on, my man? How's everything going? And here we are heading into week four. And normally we're, you know, talking about being at the top of our league, being at the top of the leaderboard. Still plenty of time left to go. But, you know, to start off a show talking about, I don't want to call some of these guys failures, but there's some struggling players right now, and I think it might be time to send some guys to the waiver wire wasteland because you can't keep putting these guys in your lineup thinking this is going to be the week it happens. This is going to be the week it happens. So kind of want to get your thoughts on some of the players that have been struggling so far to start the season off, Chris. How are you feeling right now, my man?
Corey, seen better days, buddy. It's been a rough first 3 weeks of the season, obviously. A lot of injuries, like you said, a lot of highly ranked players, in the first two or three rounds, that are obviously off to terrible starts mostly at the running back position, but at every position. So, hopefully this happens every year, though, Corey. Honestly, the first couple weeks are always crazy. Hopefully things get to settle down going forward, and we could put all this misery behind us.
No doubt. And I do think things will somewhat normalize, but this season's kind of had a different feel of it. Last night, me and you were talking briefly. We spoke about the second-round running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys we were saying, listen, if Murray drops to this point, he becomes a good value.
Mm-hmm.
If McCoy drops to the middle of the third, he becomes a good value. And I want to start right there with those two big-time running backs. Both of them have been fantasy studs in recent years. I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about in recent memory, both guys have become fantasy studs. Late in the draft season, the name Carlos Williams kept coming up. It kept coming up. It kept coming up. Didn't get a chance to snag him on any team. Because, you know, this is Greg Roman's offense. He's a one-back guy. This is Rex Ryan, pound the rock. They went out, made the move to bring Shady McCoy to Buffalo. I don't know if Shady's getting to the point now where he's too beat up, too much wear and tear to handle the load by himself. I know his owners are not going to like this, but Carlos Williams is going to be a major factor. in the Buffalo Bills running game going forward?
He sure is. He's been that for 3 weeks now, already looking like the better running back out of the two of them through the first 3 weeks. And now that he's going to pretty much have the show to himself and have the backfield to himself for definitely this week, and they're probably going to rest McCoy for a couple weeks now. You see this a lot in the NFL when teams have that veteran running back and they have the young running back, you know, in the waiting. There's no need to hurry back the veteran running back that's all banged up when he's getting outperformed by their young stud running back, you know. So I could see Carlos Williams taking this job and running with it. Them telling McCoy, listen, when you get, you know, take some extra time. And when he gets back, then it's going to be a problem. This happens all the time in the NFL, Corey. We see it. You know, the younger running back is outplaying the veteran, but, you know, what's the coaching staff going to do? Some coaches have the balls to say, hey, you know, sit over here on the sideline. The guy's producing for us. Some guys give the veteran the respect. So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, if they stick with Carlos Williams from here on out, if he performs as well as we all think he's going to.
No doubt, and Carlos Williams has been a guy that's performed well. I want to talk interestingly right quick as we head into week four. Carlos Williams has a $3,400 price on DraftKings. He should be 100% owned this week. Of course, it's always a good idea to fade a player like want to be highly owned. Now, I was talking to Scout Senior Fantasy, Daily Fantasy Expert Tommy G. Every week that a team is facing the New York Giants, the Giants have shut that running back down. The next week, that running back has gone off. Happened in the case with Joe Randle, happened in the case with Devonta Freeman, and I forgot who it was later on in the season. Now, with that being said, this may not be Carlos Williams' big week, but he is a player that everybody likes this week because the Buffalo Bills offense, listen, we thought ground and pound, Tyrod Taylor drives the bus, no really big targets in the passing game. Sammy Watkins, ultra-talented, but, of course, that's not what this Buffalo offense is going to be. But I tell you what, you talk about the surprise and disappointment in Sean McCoy, how about the surprise of Tyrod Taylor and how good the Buffalo Bills have looked offensively with Robert Woods and Percy Harvin, of all people?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's why everybody shied away from the passing offense of the Buffalo Bills. They looked at their receivers and was like, man, other than Sammy Watkins, you know, there's not much there. But Percy Harvin's had a little rebirth so far. You know, Robert Woods and even Chris Hogan got in the mix last week. Are these guys startable on a week-to-week basis? Probably not. But who is now is Tyrod Taylor, with the quarterback position also getting hit hard so far this year in fantasy, Corey. Tyrod Taylor's an every-week play. He's a top 12 starting quarterback in fantasy. He could do it with his legs, and he can even, surprisingly, more than anybody expected, could do it through the air. So you got to start Tyrod Taylor, especially, you know, with the injuries now to Roethlisberger, Romo, Breeze is banged up, other starters struggling. Tyrod Taylor, you see him straight across the board in overall standings. A lot of people that waited on the quarterback position and grabbed him late threw him in as their quarterback, and they're reaping the benefits for the first 3 weeks. Let's see when the weather starts changing up in Buffalo if he could continue to get this done with the weak receiving crew that he has, and when teams get a little more tape on him and can figure him out a little bit more. I don't know if he could withstand all of it, but early in the season, he's been a great pick so far.
Mid to late round quarterback guy like myself, got Tony Romo in a lot of places, of course, can't help me much right now, but Tyrod Taylor is a player I use to back him up with. So, feeling pretty good about that right now. Last week in the league, where you can get 6 points for the passing touchdown, Tyrod Taylor was able to put up an impressive 30-point week. That's the way that you'll be able to win your fantasy league. So, definitely, if you're in a league where you need quarterback help, if Tyrod Taylor is still out there, go ahead and hop on board now before the hype gets overblown, because another nice matchup this weekend should be a nice game with a lot of offensive points being scored. And Tyrod Taylor, T-Mobile, looking like a pretty fun player right now. A player who is not fun right now, I've seen him go from anywhere in draft season from 1-8 to 2-12. And that's Cincinnati Bengals running back Jeremy Hill. We saw Hill explode onto the scene last year as a rookie. We all know, same situation, just like with Sean McCoy, a system that likes to employ the running back. Yeah, Gio was still in the mix, but Gio's the pass-catching back. We like the value in PPR, but Jeremy Hill looked like a 2-3 down back who was going to get touchdown work in a system that prefers the run. Jeremy Hill has been a bum for the better part of this season. Talking about the game a couple of weeks ago with the fumbles, okay, you scratched that one. But now we see poor performance again in week three, not to mention the fact he is out-snapped by Giovanni Bernard almost 2-1, Chris. I'm a Jeremy Hill owner in a few big leagues, and I am starting to worry.
Corey, Jeremy Hill, if Jeremy Hill continues on this slide, I'm going to be dead wrong about him. I'll be honest. He was the only second-round running back that I was in love with that I would have jumped up and taken. All these other guys that are struggling, not that I expected them to struggle, but they weren't on my radar. The McCoys, the Lynches, and the DeMarco, well, maybe a little DeMarco Murray. But anyway, Jeremy Hill has been the biggest surprise out of all these guys. And out of all these guys, all these second-round running backs, and throwing C.J. Anderson, obviously, in this mix, he's the one that I expect to bounce back, though, Corey. He did have an opening week like everybody expected. He had a great week one. Week two was a disaster. And then week three, if you believe Marvin Lewis, the game flow just didn't work out. Cincinnati was trailing. He says Gio Bernard is going to be mostly in, you know, when they're down. I believe that. That does hurt Jeremy Hill's value. But on the flip side, Cincinnati's a good team. And they're going to be up a lot more than they're down, I believe, this year. And, you know, I think Jeremy Hill will be fine. But two stinkers in a row. But, you know, like we said, who hasn't been given stinkers a couple weeks in a row now that you drafted as a running back in the first three rounds?
Let me ask you a question. The philosophy, Chris, of running back fumbles twice, put them out of the game, put the back up in and teach them a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a strategy that does not work. We've seen it so much with Stephen Ridley in New England to a point where it almost became laughable. We see it with Jeremy Hill. He comes back and he has a poor performance. I almost think that these things become mental for these running backs. DeMarco Murray fumbled the football all year last year, including the big one in Green Bay down the stretch. But Jason Garrett stuck to the script, had an 1,800-yard running back. Are these coaches wrong in pulling these guys up game for fumbling?
You know what, Corey, it's a tough question. But, yeah, they might be. But if the back keeps going out there and putting the ball on the floor and turning it over and costing their team good field position and 7 points the other way when they do it, and it's happening week after week, you know, these coaches, unless you're Adrian Peterson or someone that's got a long time in this league, you know, which a Jeremy Hill doesn't have, you know, they're going to sit these guys down and try and teach them a lesson, be like, hey, you got to be more careful with the ball. You know, on the flip side of that, Corey, that's something you don't really deal with when you're drafting wide receivers early. And instead, that's just another reason to shy away from these running backs early is you don't have to worry about things like that with a wide receiver getting benched for fumbles. You know, you rarely see that. But I don't know. Corey, are you that worried about Jeremy Hill now, or is it, you know, or are you more concerned about other running backs?
I'm still going to be putting him in my lineup each and every week, I'll be honest with you, because, listen, like you said, Cincinnati's a good team this year. The Graham script should lead to Jeremy Hill pounding the rock. But I'm starting to be concerned about the mental aspect of the fumbles. I think it's something that can stick with a player. It's going to be a situation I'm running to all season with Jeremy Hill and these fumbles, and if he can get his thing back on track. But listen, Giovanni Bernard is here to stay. Jeremy Hill can run for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Giovanni Bernard can catch 6 passes for 80 yards and score 1 touchdown. He's going to outscore him.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what you're seeing now is Gio Bernard is one of these finds this year that everybody wanted to stay away from. Nobody wanted him. He fell to 10th rounds of some drafts, 9th, 10th rounds. I know I got him. Yeah, I mean, I looked at some of my drafts that I got him in. I got him in the 8th round in one draft and the 9th round of another. And I'll be honest, it wasn't because I was in love with him going into the year. You know, some guys you take and you're like, all right, this guy's got good enough value here where I'll take a shot on him. You know, And the guy is one of these backs that we talk about, one of these PPR backs. They're not only just catching the ball, but they're getting enough carries where, you know, if you have monster receivers early and you're putting these guys in your lineup, the Gio Bernards and Danny Woodheads of the world, and now come along like the Deion Lewis's and the Lance Dunbars. I mean, this is what's carrying people through the first 3 weeks that are struggling with their big running backs. Those type of running backs are outscoring and outplaying the big-time running backs. So it's been a crazy 3 weeks, Corey. There's no doubt about it. We don't have to beat that, you know, that drum anymore. But it is crazy that you could find these PPR backs that late in the draft, stick them in your lineup, and pretty much feel comfortable going forward.
No doubt. Another situation developing, situation in Philadelphia. Now, Murray sat last week with the hamstring, but Murray was averaging less than 1 yard to carry. We see Ryan Matthews getting the game last week against a stout defense, a defense that's supposed to be top against the run, and Ryan Matthews looked like the Ryan Matthews we thought we were getting in the alternative system back when he was highly targeted in San Diego. Now you put him in Chris Kelly, another run-first system, and Ryan Matthews almost looks like, after what we saw, Ryan Matthews looked like, in my opinion, Chris, that he's owned a nice percentage of the carries that come out of that Philadelphia backfield, even when Murray returns.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting to see because Matthews played unbelievable last week. He looked really good. And I think what it comes down to is, you know, DeMarco Murray's trying to adjust to this new system. And DeMarco Murray's a north and south runner. And in Chip Kelly's offense, they got him moving laterally too much. And that's why every play you saw, whether it's that or the fact that, you know, you heard the rumor of, you know, Chip Kelly's running system, you know, the defense could pick it out too easily. They were calling out the plays. If that's the case, maybe that's why DeMarco Murray gets hit in the backfield, 5 yards in the backfield every single time he gets a carry. Maybe they switch something up, and that's why Ryan Matthews was successful. Or maybe it's just that Chip Kelly's offense and the way the offensive line works just fits Ryan Matthews' style of running better. But, you know, if DeMarco Murray comes back this week and he should play, he got on the practice field today and struggles and looks terrible, and then they sub Ryan Matthews in, and he looks good. Well, now we're looking at a real problem. And if you're a DeMarco Murray owner, you got a real problem for the rest of the season. But sooner or later, Chip Kelly's just going to be like, hey, Ryan Matthews, get in there, and DeMarco Murray, come sit over here with me.
And that's going to be a problem right there. Team, a league where I am a Murray owner, I don't have Ryan Matthews on the team. The team is 0-3, dead last in points, playing the 3-0 team with the most points this week. So I really need that team to get it going before I drop to 0-4. And I think at 0-4 is officially panic time. Luckily, this is a league where we're only playing for bragging rights and trophy, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's good news. You know, you never want to be in a big league with money on the line and you got to stay at an 0-4 and, you know, you're playing for pride the rest of the year. But, hey, that's a lot, you know, that's what a lot of us are facing so far through 3 weeks is a lot of mediocrity, you know. It hasn't been lighting it up, you know. But
speaking of mediocrity, Chris. Wait, I'm sorry.
Say it again? No, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of mediocrity, I want to touch on another one of these second, third round running backs that we got about a month ago. Listen. It's some things in fantasy are foolproof. And one of the things that I thought were foolproof was Mark Trestman's system, the running back catching passes out of the backfield. Justin Forsett has that whole show to himself. The Baltimore Ravens have no weapons on offense besides 36-year-old Steve Smith. And Justin Forsett has not been impressive so far.
Not at all, Corey. And, you know, luckily, that was one guy I made sure I stayed away from. I understood the whole Trestman, you know, aspect of it. I guess I looked at it a little differently. I looked at it as this is a 30-year-old journeyman running back who only had one good year. And I'm not buying into it. I mean, he didn't just wake up one day last year and become a great running back. And he was a below-average, you know, waiver-wire running back for the last 7 years. Before that. So hey, it was one of those players, Corey, honestly, that I said, hey, someone else is going to take him. And if he works out 2 years in a row and he's a stud, well, then, hey, congratulations. That's on, you know, good for you. But I'm not taking that risk with that running back.
Chris, next is probably the most perplexing, but maybe it shouldn't be, hindsight being 2020. I know I don't mm-hmm. only know where the situation is with C.J. Anderson, but C.J. Anderson has been a dumpster fire so far this season. Ronnie Hillman looks like the most exciting player in that backfield, a player who flashed for 3 months last year, now all of a sudden gets the role, looks like at least Gary Kubiak told us he was going to be the man. But there was some hints at a timeshare. Now we have a situation where I think we have one more week until it's time to park C.J. Anderson on the bench.
Oh, I mean, Corey, I think we were saying this going into last week, though, you know, all
wow.
C.J. Anderson on with a nice matchup in the Dome versus a weak Detroit defense and another egg. I mean, out of all these second-round running backs, and they've all looked pretty terrible, C.J. Anderson is number one on that board. He's looked the worst. I don't see any hope for this guy, Corey. I think he's going to be the bust of the first two rounds. Doesn't help that Ronnie Hillman looks better than him. The backup looks faster. I gotta give him something, and if that's the case, his offensive line is a lot weaker this year than it was last year, and maybe that's hurting his run game, but no hope in sight for C.J. Anderson, Corey. He got nicked up again last week, dealing with a little bit of a head injury. I don't know if they're trying to cover up a concussion or a slight concussion or what. I really haven't seen much news on him this week to say if he was going to definitely play this upcoming Sunday, so I guess he's good to go, but if you want to give him one more shot, they can run on Minnesota at home, and if he bombs again this week, well, it's Buck City.
No doubt. Agree with you 100% on that one, my man. Another one of these second, third-round running backs I want to talk about is not impressed so far this season. I think this one may have to do with the coaching in Miami, and that's Lamar Miller. This was a team that people were saying a potential playoff team, not a wild card, a team that could possibly win that division and play deep into the AFC playoffs, and the Miami Dolphins
yep.
were pitiful.
I mean,
they
on paper,
flat out
they
look pitiful great. Right now. And where is Lamar Miller at?
Lamar Miller is nowhere to be found. 13 carries week one, 10 carries week two, 7 last week. The trending downwards. Nothing's going well there. The offensive line is a mess. Brandon Albert is hurt now. He was their best lineman. You got rookie guards in on the line for Miami to make the matters worse. If you want to make it even worse, now you're going into London for the London game defensive front, which even though they sprung a little bit of a leak versus Ryan Matthews and the Eagles last week, you saw what they did to the Colts, not a good matchup at all. Funny, too, because I see all the Lamar Miller teams already in all these high-stakes leagues across the board, and for whatever reason, it just seems like it's one of those weeks where, you know, you look across all your teams and you just happen to be playing, like, the same player in a lot of leagues, Corey. Well, this
yeah.
week I seem to be playing a lot of teams that own Lamar Miller, and Lamar Miller is on everyone's bench. They don't have
wow.
him in their starting lineup. So all high-stakes players have jumped off the ship already. He's parked on every single person's bench. So even though I'm playing Lamar Miller on a lot of leagues, I'm not playing Lamar Miller because he's on the bench. And I agree. I was hoping that they'd play him. I could see Lamar Miller putting in one of those 8 carries, 19-yard performances again this week. It's a mess in Miami. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I think Joe Philbin won't make it through the season. I think he's the worst coach in the NFL, or at least one of the top three worst coaches in the NFL.
Started that little segment right there off talking about the coaching issue in Miami and how I think that may be really what's breaking the Dolphins' spirit. I want to get this news update for you before we rock on and look at some of the running back rankings, talk about some of the good guys this week. Kind of want to
mm-hmm.
see where you line up with the Scout Fantasy rankings as we get ready to move into week 4. What's the latest on Arian Foster? Because, at one point it was week two, then it was week three, then it was week four, and now it's like solid.
Frustrating. Frustrating is what it is, Corey.
That's it, huh? You don't have no time
no,
table and
no
color to it. They just like it's frustrating. Let's go. Let's move on.
And Corey, I mean, you know this already about me. I went all in on Arian Foster because of the injury, and I said, this is the shot worth taking this year in drafts. He's on a ton of my teams. I got excited after week one with the report that, hey, he might suit up week two. I said, all right, if he's there week two, great. If not, at least I know I got him week three. And then on and on and on. All right, he's not coming back week two. At least week three I got him. No, now week four. Now, I mean, enough is enough. The fact of the matter is he's going to wind up coming back. If he doesn't come back this week, which I don't know if he's going to or not, it's going to be a game-time decision, they're saying. But sooner or later, he's going to wind up coming back later than he originally was supposed to come back. So it's frustrating. You know, owners that have him and are waiting to unleash Arian Foster, this guy could save people's drafts and win people's leagues. As bad as the running back position is being, Arian Foster could be right there in that Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles conversation and wind up being a top five back every week. Now, if you could take that coming into week four off your bench and throw that into your lineup, there's no other player in fantasy at this point in the season where you can grab him, put him in your lineup, and he starts dropping 25, 30 points every week for you. So he's the key to a lot of people's seasons right now.
No doubt, key to success on a lot across a lot of teams. Going to be interesting to see how that play out. Well, hop into these rankings right quick. Ranked number 11 running back this week, Scout Fantasy PPR ranking, is San Francisco 49ers running back Carlos Hyde. Hyde looked like could be a breakout star in week one. San Francisco sucks, so their game script is not really going to dictate running the football a lot. And this week, they're going to be playing from behind because Aaron Rodgers should go in there and blow the lights out of that joint. But he's ranked number 11.
Corey, I don't like it, Corey. I'll tell you why. Reggie Bush is coming back this week, and you got to factor that in. And when you factor Reggie Bush being out there, he practiced fully today, so he's most likely going to play. And if the game goes according to the way we all think it's going to go, well, Reggie Bush will be on the field a lot because they'll be playing from behind. I don't know how San Francisco did what they did week one, looking pretty good, and Carlos Hyde looking as good, but I think it all came crashing down, and the Niners' offense is what it is, and you saw what they've become the last 2 weeks. I think that's the Niner offense you'll be looking at for the rest of the year. That spells trouble for Carlos Hyde, so 11th overall at the running back position is a little tough, but at the same time, the running back position in total is really weak, so I'd have to see everyone else around that area to see if the how off I think that ranking is.
Number 12 this week, Jonathan Stewart. Listen, Jay Stu, a ton of miles on the guy, number one. And my whole thing with Carolina Panthers is Cam Newton is the weapon. Greg Olsen is the weapon. Everybody else is really just second fiddle.
I mean, that's accurate. But, you know, this is a great matchup for Jonathan Stewart this week. Tampa Bay can't stop the run. If Jonathan Stewart, who, you know what, though, let's be factual here. Jonathan Stewart's had three good matchups to start the season. He's bombed all three of them. He's given basically the same performance 3 weeks in a row with about 50 to 60 rushing yards. Nothing impressive. Still hasn't sniffed the end zone. He's got another great matchup versus Tampa this week. But now here we go. Guess what? Jonathan Stewart's banged up again. And I don't like the reports that I'm hearing about Jonathan Stewart with a fibula injury. I'll give you another little thing that I always like to look at when these guys' bye weeks is. Well, guess what? Jonathan Stewart hasn't practiced the last couple days. He's dealing with a bad knee injury, a fibula injury, and his bye week is the week after this week. You know what that tells me? Take the week off, Jonathan Stewart. You got the following week off on a bye week. We'll see you week six. Get healthy, get rested, and who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Stewart sits out this juicy matchup this week versus Tampa Bay. And that's going to screw a lot of Jonathan Stewart owners in a week where you could have used a guy like Jonathan Stewart in a nice matchup.
Dollar make you holler on Cameron Artis Payne, or is Mike Tolbert the guy, or is just Cam Newton's show?
All right, so, You know what, Corey? As a Jonathan Stewart owner in a handful of leagues, I was looking at this situation today. Mike Tolbert's dealing with a hamstring injury, or else I think he would have gotten maybe been the guy to, you know, receive the goal line work and, you know, a handful. He could have been useful. Fozzie Whitaker is also in the mix. Fozzie Whitaker seems to be like that third down type back for them. Cameron Artis Payne got three carries last week, and maybe that's saying something. He was inactive the week before, hadn't had a carry the previous 2 weeks. Maybe they're starting to get him going, knowing that Jonathan Stewart's banged up. This is the time to jump on Cameron Artis Payne if you didn't last night off waivers.
Two more running back questions, and I want to move on and talk about some of the wide receiver rankings as we give you a little bit short in addition to the takeover, about 15 minutes left to go in the program, Chris. Is this the breakout week for Melvin Gordon against San Diego versus Cleveland?
I would have Melvin Gordon ranked in the top 8 to 10 overall running backs this week. I love him this week. I think he's a great DFS play at home in a game that San Diego should be leading. San Diego's lost 2 games in a row. They're coming back home playing a bad Browns defense that can be run on. And if game script goes according to plan, this could be a nice big week for Melvin Gordon.
Devonta Freeman, is he a every week starter in a 12-team league?
All right, he looked great last week, Corey, but I got to see it a little more. I got to see it more than just blow-up week, you know. So things broke well for this guy, Devonta Freeman, because Tevin Coleman looked great the first couple weeks. He looked like he was, like, could be a legit lead back in the NFL. He goes down. Devonta Freeman gets his shot, gets a nice juice matchup in that game last week, takes advantage of it. You know,
come on,
see it again.
Depth chart now has Freeman at 1 when it had Coleman at 1 earlier. And, of course, depth charts don't mean nothing, but the Falcons' Twitter account sent out a tweet praising Devonta Freeman as the official starting running back. That's something to look into, but we like that offense to be pass-heavy and continue to feed the football to Julio Jones. Let me ask you, as we move over to the wide receiver side of the ball, what's the latest on Deshaun Jackson?
Say it again?
The latest on Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, Deshaun Jackson's not going to play again this week. You know, these guys, they want to rush back and play their old teams. You know, Deshaun Jackson, I'm sure, would love to get on the field and play Philly, but it's just not happening for him. He still hasn't practiced this week. He tried, and he can't. They're not going to rush him back. He'll sit out another week at least. You'll probably see him either next week or the week after, but you see it now. There's no reason to rush these guys back from hamstring injuries. They always re-aggravate it when they come back early. You won't see Deshaun Jackson this Sunday.
No Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon. If that game is played, Pierre Garçon is a guy to definitely give a look for in your DFS contest on DraftKings this weekend, because Byron Maxwell quite possibly may be the worst cornerback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, he got a nice contract out of being part of the Legion of Boom, though, you know. He parlayed that into a nice little paycheck. But I agree with you 100% with Pierre Garçon, like him. But let's jump into this real quick, Corey, with this situation now with the hurricane coming up Sunday, hitting that Virginia area, East Coast. Everybody keeps talking about this Philly-Washington game as the only game being affected. I don't know if that's the case. I was trying to look at the games on the East Coast, the Giants and Bills and Buffalo. I don't know if they're affected. But all these games, if there's this hurricane on the East Coast, you know, what does that mean? That means heavy winds. That's a fantasy football nightmare when you're dealing with – you could deal with anything, rain, snow, it doesn't matter. But once you hear strong winds, well, that messes up everything. That affects your quarterback. You downgrade your quarterback. You downgrade all the wide receivers and tight end. The only position it helps more is the running back. So you know, an Eagles-Redskins matchup right there, you know, for those Sam Bradford owners, you know, that are on the fence about playing him, you got to follow the weather system. I was hoping that the game got postponed and they did a Monday night doubleheader. You know, usually you see that nowadays, the last 5 years, with a bad weather situation, they cancel it on the weekend and move it to Monday. They say they're playing this game as is on Sunday, but if there's heavy winds, you know, stay away from that game to all our listeners as much as you can for receivers and tight ends and quarterbacks.
Not even for DFS purposes to get a lowly owned Pierre Garçon or a lowly owned Jordan Matthews. Or just follow the weather and not even trip off it.
I'm worried about the weather, Corey. I am. They're talking like 1:30, 2 o'clock on Sunday, hitting the Virginia area hard, 100-mile-an-hour winds. That's unless something changes. I mean, you got to stay tuned to the weather for that game. I would say I'm already looking at the weather for that game and trying to follow it and see what the story is. But we won't know a better you know, until Sunday morning about
if
that
you're
game.
Playing in a home league, Chris. And you're able to make trades, and you get something in your inbox, trade proposal, and you open it up this week, I'm talking about when we finish this today, and you're in the home league, and you get a trade proposal in your inbox. The trade proposal is you get Larry Fitzgerald, you send your opponent Antonio Brown.
What? No. I'm getting Larry Fitzgerald,
and you're trading Antonio Brown.
No, I'm deleting that email right away. I don't care. I understand Larry Fitzgerald is the hottest wide receiver right now in football, and I get it. I understand you got Mike Vick throwing to Antonio Brown, but man, are you gonna kick yourself if Ben Roethlisberger is back on the center 4 weeks from now, and from week 7 or 8 until straight through the playoffs, Antonio Brown is back to his 9 catches, 130, 40 yards, and 2 touchdown games, and Larry Fitzgerald is hitting the cliff because he's 33 years old, and the second half of the season, his production keeps going down and down because of his age. Listen,
and
Larry Fitzgerald,
who knows who
the
quarterback is going to be in week 8 because Carlton Palmer is not a pitcher to help.
Yeah.
But Ben Roethlisberger is one of the toughest SOBs in the NFL.
Yeah, Corey, listen. Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Smith, the old-timers, they're the story of the first 3 weeks of the season in fantasy. No doubt about it. They're the two biggest surprises. They're the two wide receivers, along with the Roddy White and Marcus Colson, the guys that nobody wanted on draft day. Everybody, they just kept falling, those guys. Everybody stays away from the old guys. They don't want to be on the guy that eventually, you know, that season is the cliff and it's over. Kind of like what's happening with Roddy White and Andre Johnson, actually, as a matter of fact, right now. But, you know, nobody wanted those two guys, and everyone's paying for it now because those are the guys that are sitting 3-0 and at the top of the leaderboards are the Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Smith owners. They're dominating right now. I want to see how long it happens. Steve Smith did it last year, first half of the season, and then completely disappeared the second half of the season. Got to figure age plays a plays a factor at some point.
$6,700 is the price for T.Y. Hilton this weekend on DraftKings. As long as T.Y. Hilton's price stays under $7,000, I don't care if Dante Moncrief comes at the minimum salary. Put T.Y. Hilton in your lineup. A 2-for-180 and 2 touchdowns is coming, Chris.
I agree 100%. T.Y. Hilton always has these 2 or 3 games every year where he blows up and goes crazy. This week seems like a great opportunity for it. He hasn't had the big game yet. He's in domes. He's at home in the dome where he usually has his huge games. Obviously, the question is, now he might be a little lower owned, Corey, than usual because everyone's getting scared off from the Andrew Luck shoulder injury, you know, reports that are getting thrown around. You got to figure this something too. For Andrew Luck to be playing as poorly so far as he is through the first 3 weeks, there's probably some truth to it. But it's a risk worth taking because if Luck is out there, T.Y. Hilton should be having a big day on Sunday.
No doubt, I agree with you 100% on that. He will be in a few of my lineups as we move through. Is James Jones the real deal?
James Jones, you said?
Yeah, James Jones. We got a Giants cut.
Yeah, imagine. Imagine the Giants cut this guy. Unbelievable.
And kept Preston Parker.
And kept Preston Parker. It's amazing. It really is. It makes me, as a Giant fan, it boggles my mind. You think Eli would have been like, are you kidding me? We're cutting this guy? He's my perfect number two. But
it's the same offense that James Jones was in. It's the same offense.
Yeah.
How did they not
yeah.
do this?
I will never know because we're not in those doors, but I wish I had I wish I could find the answer to that one because that's a mystery. But, you know, the Giants' loss is obviously the Packers' find. And now with Devontae Adams all banged up and probably dealing with a high ankle sprain, probably won't see him for a couple weeks. The James Jones show rolls on. And, you know, between James Jones and Dante Moncrief, these are the two wide receivers that are having, you know, a find right now after the 10th round in fantasy drafts this year. And you could play both of these guys in daily, especially James Jones versus the San Fran defense. Could have another huge week.
If you put you in, I'm putting you in my shoes. I own Calvin Johnson in two hot 16.
Right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried should I be about his first 3 weeks of the season?
Not crazy. Not too bad. I mean, obviously, you know, he hasn't had he's had one good game and two below average games, you know, two games where he scored about 15 points. Nothing crazy, but he's healthy. He looks fine. I would be more worried about Stafford than I am Calvin getting him the ball because Stafford hasn't looked good. But nothing to worry about with Calvin. No, nothing to worry about Calvin. Matter of fact, Corey, you know, we talk about how bad the running backs have been and everything like that. But Calvin Johnson, you know, and all these first-round wide receivers, they're all hits. Everybody, I mean, it's we say it every year, and it's our strategy of drafting. But, I mean, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas has been big. A.J. Green is a stud. You know, Odell Beckham, you know, obviously Dez Bryant can't do nothing about that injury. But, you know, you're pretty much 7-for-7 on big-time wide receivers. You know, they're living up to the hype so far.
And really, the first-round running back that's living up to the hype, obviously, ADP was the big one last week after a shaky start. Jamaal Charles, I don't understand why Jamaal Charles, at the end of this year, was dropping to 111, 112. He dominates the workload, and he will continue to do so. Right quick, as you get ready to wrap up, Chris, rank these wide receivers for me. Nelson Aguilar.
For this week?
Devontae Parker. Huh?
For this week or for the season?
For the rest of the season, ROS. Nelson Aguilar, okay. Devontae Parker, Ty Montgomery, Rashad Matthews.
All right, let's put Ty Montgomery last, Rashad Matthews second to last. So I like Devontae Parker a lot. I really do. I think he's first. Who was the other guy? I'm sorry. The first guy you
Nelson
mentioned?
Aguilar. Nelson
yeah,
Aguilar.
Yeah, Aguilar has been off to a slow start. I expect him to pick up the offense more, kind of like how Jordan Matthews did second half of the season. So I'll go with him second, and then Matthews and Montgomery third and fourth. As long as Devontae Adams doesn't miss too much time, and you have, you know, obviously the pecking order of Cobb with James Jones and Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery isn't going to factor in too big this year. But Devontae Parker...
Yeah.
I feel we'll
be
big.
I want to finish the program on this note. We got less than a minute left to go. If you, I know this one is dear to your heart. What are you doing with Andre Johnson? On the bench or on the waiver wire?
Bench. Yeah, Corey. I can't drop him yet. I can't completely, you know, put him in. A lot of our listeners, they got different situations, shorter benches, deeper, not deeper leagues. I can understand that. But I gotta let him sit on the bench for a while, let him get some stuff together, and then hopefully, you know, 3-4 weeks from now, he starts putting things together. I think that'll come hand in hand with Andrew Luck getting healthier and the offense growing together. Can't give up on him yet. Just like Roddy White last year, Corey.